Been talking about the past couple of weeks, what are the signs of spiritual life in your life and my life. Last week we talked about, really it was about going, about sharing our faith, you might say. And this week I'm talking about prayer. So that was very appropriate, Robert. And we don't bow the knee enough. God's people don't bow the knee enough. And I don't think most of us realize how much power there is when we bow the knee. Prayer is a very powerful thing. In his book, Does Prayer Make a Difference? Philip Yancey gives this account of the power of prayer. He said, the city of Leipzig, Germany, had been the scene of a violent protest against communist rule in 1953. But the protest was crushed by force. In four decades of fighting against communist rule in East Germany, nothing changed behind the Iron Curtain. But in 1989, something happened that turned it in another direction. A group of Christians began meeting in a church where Johann Sebastian Bach used to play the organ. They began to hold candlelight prayer marches. The marches began very small, but they grew. 10,000 marchers, then 30,000, then 50,000, then 500,000 in Leipzig, and 1,000,000 more in Berlin. Finally, in November 1989, the Berlin Wall itself, the reviled symbol of the Iron Curtain, yielded to a different kind of power and came crashing down in 1,000,000 pieces. Y'all remember that, don't you? It's not been too long ago. What force and violence could not do, the power of prayer did. Amazing, isn't it? What that can do, the power of prayer. Now, when Jesus was about to depart from this earth, he told his disciples that they would do greater works than he did. His disciples would do greater works by the power of prayer. Let's look at that scripture this morning in John chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading of your word to our hearts, that you would guide and direct us. Speak to us, Lord, from heaven this morning. Speak to us, Lord Jesus, the words that we need to hear. Help us to have our ears open, our hearts open, especially for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing in talking about these greater works, of course, when you read that, you're automatically thinking, what greater works could I possibly do than Jesus did? Wasn't he the greatest of all? But let's look at this. First thing is that we can expect greater works. If someone was to hear us say that, us as Christians say that we can do greater works than Jesus did. That sounds kind of arrogant, doesn't it? It sounds a little arrogant. But it was Jesus himself who told his followers that we would do greater works than he. Now, we're not going to do greater miracles than Jesus, right? When Jesus was here, he did great, great miracles. But in John 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time when he would no longer be standing in front of them. He had already told them that he would soon depart. And part of his preparation to go was to tell his disciples, look, you need to pray. from now on, I'm not going to be standing in front of you for you to just ask me. You need to pray. That's how you're going to reach me. And that's right today, isn't it? That's how we reach out to Jesus. We pray, right? Prayer is how you and I do greater works. You and I can be part of that greater works by our prayer relationship with God the Father, because we are connected with Jesus. Now, some have said that we can do greater works if we just have enough faith. You've heard some of these cats on TV, right? If you just have enough faith. I quit listening to them guys a long time ago, by the way. I used to just turn and listen to these different guys to see what everybody was saying, I guess. But I got tired of hearing the same old thing that was unbiblical, really. If you just have enough faith. Well, you know what? Our faith is not always strong, is it? We don't always have enough faith. And then, how much is enough? How much faith do I need to have to hear from God or to get from God what I need? But Jesus said, He said it right there. He said, those who believe Him would do greater works. And He didn't say anything about faith there, did He? If you just have enough faith. Well, what do you mean by greater works? You think we could change water into wine? Do you think we could raise the dead? Do you think we could walk on water? There's a lot of water out there right now, isn't it? We could walk on water. That might come in handy. But no, we're not going to do those things. As great as those miracles were that Jesus did while He was here, they were only temporary. You know, when He raised Lazarus from the dead, the poor guy had to die again. He died once, He raised from the dead, and He died again. I'm not so sure that I want to be raised to die again, do you? If I died once, I don't want to die again. But thank God when Jesus raises us, we won't be having to die again, right? Jesus said, what He said is that we would have a greater impact than He did. Now, stay with me. That's really what He's talking about, these greater works, is that we'll have a greater impact than He. So how can greater works happen? How greater works can happen? Jesus tied these greater works that He was discussing with His disciples, He tied that to His return to heaven. And we see in verse 12 where Jesus said that we would do greater works because He is returning to the Father. The disciples at that time were probably wondering, how will that be possible if Jesus is gone? Well, it would be possible because after Jesus ascended to heaven, who did He send back? He sent back the Holy Spirit, right? After Jesus ascended, He told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And you'll recall that the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came down on those who were waiting in Jerusalem. And the Spirit came down on them like tongues of fire, it said. But now, when a person trusts Jesus as Savior, they receive the Holy Spirit of God to reside within them. Isn't that exciting? Do we ever get tired of hearing that? I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I did, God sent His Spirit to indwell me and fill me. He empowered me by His Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit that we can do greater works, and we can access those greater works with prayer. Greater works in the power of the Holy Spirit, greater works by the power of prayer. Do you believe that this morning? It's in the Bible. You said you believe the Bible. It's in there. Carry this a little further. I want you to consider how greater works are possible. As I've said, we access power to do greater works through prayer. Jesus said in verse 13 of our text, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do." Look at that again. "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Well, there again, does that mean whatever? Does that mean that God is like a genie in a bottle or a genie in a lamp and we can rub it and say hocus pocus and get a new car or something like that? Or three wishes? That's not what he's talking about, is it? He's not talking about whatever we might ask selfishly for our selfish selves that we're going to get if we'll just ask Jesus to give it to us. I found out, though, Jesus gives me everything I need. He does. I'm following Christ, and He gives to me everything that I need. Can you say that this morning? If you think about it, it's true. If you're saved this morning and you're following Christ, He gives you what you need. But what He's talking about here in context is saying, when He says, "Whatever you ask in my name," He's talking about in His will by the Holy Spirit. Whatever you need to do that greater work for Him, it'll happen by the power of the Holy Spirit through your prayer. Now, we've talked about it being possible by the Holy Spirit. That, you know, that's not, it's not how the Holy Spirit, after he came at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit doesn't work the same way as He did in the Old Testament. Now, God has always existed, right? Jesus has always existed. He didn't start in a manger in Bethlehem. He's always existed. God's Holy Spirit has always existed, right? But in the Old Testament, we find where the Holy Spirit, when God wanted to speak through one of His prophets, He says He put the Holy Spirit on him to do the task that God called him to do. On him, not in him, on him, for the period of time needed to complete the task that God had called that prophet to do. Now, what's different is now, since the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and we receive the Holy Spirit when we are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and so He's with us all the time, isn't He? Is it better to have the Holy Spirit in us or beside us? It's in us, right? You know, if He's beside you, you might have to look around to make sure He's still around, right? Make sure He's still there. You know, I got something big I got to do, and let's see if the Holy Spirit, is He behind me? No, He's inside me. He's with me all the time. So He gives me the power that I need to serve the Lord. Now, with the Holy Spirit living in us, that's how we can do greater works for Him. And besides that, there's more of us, right? A fourth thing, why our works are greater. Simply put, when Jesus was here, He was confined to a human body. And so wherever Jesus was physically, His physical body was, that's where he was. That's like us. He was confined to a body. We're all sitting here in this auditorium today, right? We're confined to a limited geographic area. And Jesus, the same way, He was confined to that limited area that we call the Holy Land today. Martin Luther put it well when he said, "For Christ took but a little corner for himself to preach and to work miracles, and but a little time, whereas the apostles and their followers have spread themselves through the whole world." Now you read this quote of Martin Luther's, and that helps us understand how that his followers can do greater works, right? Christ took just a little corner of the world for himself to preach and work miracles, but a little time. But now his followers have spread themselves out through the whole world. Is it making more sense to you now how that we can do greater works than Jesus did when he was here? That's amazing. Because after Jesus ascended, in less than 300 years after he ascended back to heaven, the ministry that he entrusted to those 11 disciples had spread through the entire Roman Empire. That covered a large, large piece of real estate, you might say. Lots of territory. And so Jesus' work and his word had spread to millions in just a short amount of time. And now Christianity is worldwide, isn't it? I mean, there's plenty of pockets in the world that still haven't heard the name of Christ. But basically, Christianity is worldwide. Our work is greater also because it's long-lasting. For example, it was truly miraculous for Jesus to give sight to the blind, right? Or give hearing to the deaf or speech to the mute. And it was miraculous for him to raise the dead. But it's even greater, listen, it's even greater when we share the gospel with someone and see a person who's been blinded by their sin to receive their sight. That's a greater miracle. That's a greater miracle than someone receiving physical sight or someone receiving their hearing back or someone even being healed of cancer, as great as that is, or someone being raised from the dead. Those are all would all be classified as miracles, but the most miraculous thing is when somebody trusts Jesus as Savior, right? Oh, I long to see that happen, don't you? I long to see people coming to Christ. It seems like it's such a dry spell in my life. I don't know about you, but such a dry spell of us seeing people come to Christ. Now, today, we take for granted spiritual miracles that are done in our lives. We're more fascinated, really, when somebody's has some type of physical healing. And matter of fact, the most of the praying that we do is for somebody, their physical body, right? Someone's going through a hard time. Someone's their health has gone south. They're in the hospital. They're some ailment and so forth. And I'm not saying at all that we shouldn't pray for those things, right? I know when I was sick several years ago in the hospital, it meant a lot to me to know that people all over the place was praying for me. That was very encouraging, and I believe it's what got me out of the hospital. Amen? It's good. But let's not forget to pray for those who are really sick, the ones who are still in their sin. I'm telling you, that is a permanent situation if we don't pray that they get saved and be healed of the sickness of sin. What's going to matter? Let me ask you, what's going to matter 100 years from now, or even 1,000,000 years from now? It's going to matter not if a person was physically healed, but it's going to matter if a person was spiritually healed, right? That's what's going to matter in eternity. It's going to matter if a person is saved or not. It's going to matter if a person knows Jesus. It's going to matter eternally if a If a person knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, and something is done with the sin that so easily besets us, the Bible said, something has been the remedy for our sin, and that's Jesus, right? That's what's going to matter. And so those of us that are saved, the ones that Jesus said will do the greater works, that's us in here, by the way, isn't it? Are we disciples of Christ in here? We are, aren't we? Well, guess what? Jesus said, you are going to do greater works than He. You. And so for those of us that are saved, the greater works that we're going to do through Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit, by the power of prayer, is to want to see the gospel spread. And so let's tell others about Jesus. Just one, even, right? Just one. Just one. Like the old thing that used to go around, each one reach one. You remember that? Each one reach one. Well, I've got some things up my sleeve I'm going to share with you in the next few weeks. So get ready, all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And Father, we pray and give you thanks and glory for allowing us the privilege of doing the greater work. So help us, Lord, to realize the power that you've given each one of us who trusted you as Savior to do the greater works. Lord, help us to do a spiritual life check today on ourselves. Father, if there's someone here today that needs to know you as Savior, they'll not leave before making a decision to trust Christ. Whether it's to unite with this church and join arm in arm with us here to spread the gospel. Father, I pray, Lord, help us, dear God, dear Jesus, help us as we call out on your name, Lord. I pray that you'd place your hand on each one, each member and attender of our church, Lord. Help us to do the greater works. And we thank you that you've given us the privilege of doing so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.